Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 2nd of July, recording at 9:32 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. In Asia, we had a mixed performance, but the standout, as it has been for a while now, is China surging further into new high ground. That leash effect helped to support the European stock markets in the beginning of the day, but those gains were pegged back as the day developed, and focus on Wall Street took over, and Wall Street had a bad day in here, closing down nearly 3% on the NASDAQ. That's pulled that back down to 896.42. And we had similar falls, or slightly less, with the other indices. But I've got a sea of red on my screen here. And the one exception is the fixed interest sector, because they extended their gains. Commodities took a beating today. I think cotton was the only one that I saw that was a little bit higher, but everything else really was nailed today. The dollar was stronger today, and is not far off the highs of the days, the highs of the day here right now. The euro is currently trading at 140, and the Australian dollar, I see, is back down to 0.7940, so that's off 144 ticks. So, and let's see, let's get the yen in here. The dollar is down slightly against the yen, so really quite decisive action in here today. Okay, so what's going on here? Well, China is a standalone here in the stakes on the upside. It's also beginning to accelerate. At the chart seminar, we've said for years that acceleration is an ending signal of an unknown determination. In other words, unspecified duration, rather. Ending signal of an unspecified duration. And what I'm saying is that it's starting to go up at what is faster than a sustainable rate, and that becomes a burnout, and is usually capped by a decisive signal such as a key day reversal. And so I don't think China can perform like this more than the very short term, if that. And I think it will get clipped here in line with the global correction. I don't think China can do it on its own. Now, for those who see deflation everywhere, and a lot of people do, this was their kind of day, because we definitely saw some definite asset liquidation here, and the upward pressure on commodities has retreated a bit further. And again, there were some turnarounds. Some of these metal markets, for instance, were strong early in the day. Nickel, for instance, which had a big day yesterday. Some of the industrial metals had big days yesterday, but are weaker here today. Now, the risk, as I think out loud and talk today, is that we have seen a lot of markets ranging. And for instance, most stock markets are ranging. It's pretty much everything except China. And a number of commodities are now ranging, including crude oil, which fell back. Well, it's currently at 66.32, having been up at 72.73 just 2 or 3 days ago. Now, when markets are ranging, well, that's an environment that makes fools out of commentators, because one day things look steady, and then the next day they look weak. And one has to stand back and try to view this in some sort of perspective. And the perspective that you're going to be very familiar with if you've been listening to these audios on a regular basis, is that we have been overdue for a stock market reaction for a few weeks, and a number of weeks. And what we also know is that when markets do so well that they appear to defy gravity, that doesn't make the risk of a reaction smaller. It actually increases it. That's in the nature of markets. They overshoot in both directions. We saw a massive overshoot in the end of the third quarter and the beginning of the fourth quarter of 2008. We saw a big recovery and arguably, as I am arguing, overshoot on the upside following the March lows. That then lost upside momentum. We've had supply and demand keeping the markets in a fairly tight ranges. I have been emphasizing those lows that we saw last week, where we had lows last week, and that's most of the stock markets that you can look at. And I've also been saying that the Wall Street leash effect had been neutral recently. Well, it took a negative turn in here today, and I would expect that to have some influence on Asia, at least in the opening. But again, China has been the big influence there, and anybody who is not, well, people who are monitoring events quite closely on Wall Street will know that Wall Street is still ranging overall. But that last reaction low, I think it's about 880 on the S&P, and we closed here at 896. Now, I've been saying that I felt we had over a 50% chance that we would see a bigger reaction, and that it could quite easily spill into a correction. And that's still the case, and a correction could carry back down towards 800 on the S&P, and that would be a decline of about 16% off the highs. Now, what will be interesting if this occurs, if markets unfold in this manner, and some follow through tomorrow would add conviction to the deeper reaction and quite possibly correction hypothesis. What would be interesting is to see how the central banks actually responded. And my hunch is if they take fright at stock markets, and if commodity markets are under a bit more pressure, and we certainly saw that today with crude oil falling back, and that's the really important one, and the grains have fallen back quite sharply, so they'll be relaxed about commodity price inflation. And what that can do is to cause the deflation concerns to come leaping forward. And my hunch is that central banks will come in with more quantitative easing, but we'll see. We will see. But what matters for investors is that this has been, I've been describing this as a more risky time at following that excellent rally, in that we are due for this reaction and consolidation, which will quite probably morph into a correction. For the fuller money themes, I think, which have done exceedingly well, and most of them bottomed in October and November of last year. For those markets, I think the downside risk is limited to mean reversion in terms of the 200-day moving average. But that still allows for quite substantial pullbacks. So this is a tricky period, I maintain, over the next few weeks and possibly few months, and then perhaps we've sorted it all out on the downside, hopefully before the end of October. But I'd be careful in here short term. Now, as far as the OECD markets are concerned, and those have been the big laggards, and I've described it as really a two-tier stock market structure. The fact is that although we had terrific rallies off those March lows, and those look like bear market enders, the fact is, though, that they have not confirmed a bottom, and those patterns do not look like completed base formations because the rallies had carried from a low all the way back up to former resistance, which would be the highs that were seen following the bounces, the technical rallies that we saw in October and November for the OECD markets, such as the USA. So they have always looked like candidates for pullbacks and base extension phases. And that's what I think we're actually going to see. And that would allow the price action to pull back, say, improve valuations a bit, and to allow the fundamentals to catch up. I've said that I think that most of the green shoots that we see in the OECD countries are mirages. They're in the form of data being less bad than it was, but that doesn't make a positive. Except for the fact that if the news is less bad and keeps on becoming less bad, then it eventually turns favorable. And if we're lucky, I think we'll start to see some genuine green shoots by, say, the fourth quarter of this year, if we're lucky. But that partly depends on policy decisions and on events. I'd be reasonably optimistic on that score, or hopeful on that score. But again, we will see. Right now, I would look for, as I've said, further reactions and indeed corrections by stock markets, base formation extension in all probability for the OECD markets. That may also lead to further reactions by some commodity prices, which have done exceedingly well in the industrial sector. And I think that, again, if the China leash turns from positive to negative, as it has to at some point in here, and my guess is that will be fairly soon, then that would weigh on those industrial commodities a bit more. And that would be good news for central banks. It would be good news for the bond markets. It would mean that central banks could relax about their very lax monetary policies and inject more capital, and I think they may well have to do so. So, that was such a dramatic day on the 3rd of June. Do you remember that? And if you didn't see the 3rd of June's copy, because I've referred to it so many times, but it's just that that was an all change day, and we had all those key day reversals, with bonds turning up and precious metals keying on the downside, and the dollar picking up, and that really did mark a different phase here in these markets. So overall, I think that the technical rally in the long dated government bonds is likely to continue against the background of stock markets that range at best and more likely move somewhat lower. And the dollar, that's a tough one, but the knee-jerk response has been to buy the dollar when stock markets have been weak and to sell it when they've been a bit stronger. That link isn't going to persist indefinitely, but it may be around for a little bit longer. I don't envisage more than a technical rally for the US dollar, and it had been pretty oversold right around that June 3rd period when we began to get all of those initial all change signals. So that's pretty much how I see it here today. And so I'll just wrap up now and say all the best to all of you and complete the comment of the day copy.